You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Sunday's edition where we're looking ahead to the action at Chelmsford City and Leopardstown. We're on the flat at Chelmsford on their all weather and it's a jumps card over in Ireland. A fantastic day of action over on the Emerald Isle with the Irish Arkle and the Irish Champion Hurdle, the two features. We'll be talking about both of those races a little bit later on in the podcast. And remember to join us on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. on Sunday with Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott guiding you through all of the action. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast is current Knapps Table leader and general king of the all-weather, Andrew Mount.
Say that again, please.
Did you like the big lead up there?
I'm getting a nosebleed. I'm not used to being that high up.
Certainly going well for you at the moment. Four winners on the spin as well.
Yeah, that's right. A bit of pressure to find a fifth one today.
Yeah.
I studied the all-weather for a good few hours, but couldn't dig anything out at Lingfield, so I've gone for Barra Fundel in the first at Haydock.
Yeah, has every chance, and you can't be accused of chipping away with shorties either, Andrew. You don't get to top the Knapps side with 11 to 10 shots every day.
That's right. I think Barra Fundel was 9 to 1 from 14s here at William Hill and won the race last year, went 2 to 1 favourite. Only a couple of pounds higher this time around and is dropping back to Class 3 company and over hurdles and fences. 6 runs in Class 3, 4 wins a second and a third. So hopeful of a good run. And Jenny Candlish is in much better form now than when he was beaten at Carlisle last time.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's a big day for you today on Saturday. On a personal level, we see Rev de Civila, who, of course, you've got a share in, back over fences for the first time in a long while.
That's right. It was a bit of a surprise when the trainer voiced the idea just before his run at Ascot in December, when we finished second to Thistlecrack. And But I understand his logic that, although he's had jumping problems in the past, Haydock's fences aren't particularly stiff. And, he reckons that those jumping problems may have been down to a tendon injury he was carrying. You know, rather than anything fundamental to do with his jumping, per se. So, with luck, we'll have a clear round and the ground's in his favour. So, who knows?
Yeah.
And he's well handicapped off at 139, having been rated 160 over hurdles last time.
Yeah, indeed. Been hammered in as well from double figure quotes into about 72, I think, last I checked.
Yes, I'm partly responsible. I was at Wolverhampton on Monday and saw the betting and he was 11 to 1 here at William Hill, so I did unleash. I might not have a job on Monday if he wins.
Okay, fair enough. Well, best of luck with that. Obviously, by the time this podcast goes out, we'll know the results of that race. Let's get to matters closer at hand then. You were in the studio yesterday, of course. As we said off air, pretty low-grade stuff. Was there anything to take out of the racing yesterday?
Quite like Spring Loaded, who won the Class 2 6 furlong handicap at Lingfield. This is one I napped when he won at Wolverhampton on the 18th of December. The reason for that was that he'd run badly at Chelmsford the time before, and I think I've discussed with you previously that
Chelmsford flop system.
Chelmsford flop system, that's right. You know, backing any horse that was a single figure price at Chelmsford but finished fourth or worse, the next time they run on another all weather track away from Chelmsford. Chelmsford's such a fast track, it doesn't suit every horse. And if you chuck out his runs at Chelmsford, he's got a fantastic record on the all-weather, apart from those runs. First, third, first, second, first, first and first. So, his last three runs away from Chelmsford have all ended in victory. And I think he can win again.
Okay. And later on in the week, of course, becomes the end of the week. Maybe looking ahead to next week, is there one for the notebooks?
There's one I like called Closing Ceremony of Emma Lavelle's, who's due to make his chase debut at Kempton on Monday. I've been following the Grade 3 Fixed Brush Handicap Hurdle at Haydock last November. That race was run at a ridiculously strong pace, and all the horses who raced prominently were beaten. But a lot of them have come out and run well since. So the race was set up for the closers. The winner, the third and fourth, were ridden patiently. Definitely Red was second in the race, did best of the prominent races, came out and won over fences at Catterick, and then ran a good race in a better grade at Warwick last week, finishing second. Yella Enki of Venetia Williams was fifth, also raced prominently. Next time out, landed a gamble in the Lanzarote hurdle, went off 11-4 favourite from 11-2 in the morning. Seventh in that race was T for Two, also raced prominently before fading. Won twice over fences since, including in Grade 1 company at Kempton on Boxing Day. And even last week, you got into One for Harry, raced prominently in this Haydock race, was pulled up, but next time out came out and won at Wetherby. Went back from 11-1 into 15-2. Witchwood's Brook fell after racing prominently, came out and finished third at Fosslass and then won at Taunton. And so we've come to the sixth in that race, closing ceremony. I actually made the running. The Racing Post described him as led, headed approaching three out, ridden before two out, weakened approaching last. Now, although, you know, it on paper it doesn't look fantastic, he was sixth, beaten over 20 lengths. In light of what the other prominent races have done since, I think when he turns up at Kempton on Monday for a novice chase, he's going to run extremely well.
Okay, closing ceremony then. One to keep an eye on, possibly in that 2:40 at Kempton for Emma Lavelle on Monday. We'll move ahead, though, Andrew, to some of Sunday's action now. As I say, we've got two meetings to come on Sunday with the abandonment of Fontwell. We're on the flat at Chelmsford City, and we've got that good card over in Ireland at Leopardstown. We'll preview two races from both venues. Just before we get stuck into the action, we'll talk a little bit about the Irish Arkle. We're not going to give this one the full preview treatment, obviously, with a very, very warm order in the shape of Duvan in a three-runner race. It's difficult to talk in depth about the race. Is it a case of Duvan would need to lose a leg to not win this?
He's got a fall, basically, hasn't he? Or be struck by lightning. Something's got to go badly wrong. I mean, he's never lost since joining Willie Mullins, six from six now. Absolutely hacked up over course and distance last time in Grade 1 company, winning by 18 lengths from Sizing John. You look at the price that day, 7-4 on, it actually looks very generous now, because he's going to be a lot shorter tomorrow.
Yeah, I think he's about 1-12 in that race. Of the other two runners, which is the most likely to follow him home?
Yeah, on ratings, it would be Velvet Maker, but say this one was 64 lengths behind Duvan last time when 16-1 third, and I thought I might take a chance with the other runner, Doomsday Book. I don't know how do we bet on those two?
Doomsday Book 10-1 and Velvet Maker is 14-1.
All right, so. If you're going to go for a forecast, it would have to be Doomsday Book, I think.
Okay, Doomsday Book then in the forecast. That's in the Irish Arkle, the one to chase home, Duvan for Andrew. We won't dwell too much on that, as I said, because it is a three-run affair with a 1-12 favourite. But let's get stuck into some of the other action on Sunday. We'll start with Chelmsford City's 1-10. This is an apprentice handicap over 6 furlongs. It's a class 6 with 8 runners down to contest it. We talk about the Chelmsford flop system, Andrew, but it must suit some horses. Some must win around it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those is Mary Ann Bug, the 8 horse here, who leaps off the page because looks as though he's going to get an easy lead in this race. She won here over 6 furlongs last October. That was her only win from 24 starts. And there's a possible angle into this race that if she's allowed a soft lead, she might be able to make all under Josephine Gordon, who's riding really well at the moment. My concern is that she didn't run very well at Lingfield last time, finishing last of 7 over 5 furlongs, although only beaten around 3 lengths. And I just don't think she's consistent enough to recommend as a bet. The likely favourite, I would imagine, would be number 1, Kalachmi, who's got a 0-from-8 record on turf, but is doing really well on the all-weather. Lost his first 4 all-weather starts all at Southall, but his career took off when he was switched to Wolverhampton about 11 months ago. Had 4 runs there now, 3 wins and a second to Summer in the City, who I think won at Chelmsford the other night. The horse he beat last time, Fujin, has come out and won since at Southall. The only problem is, will he be able to translate his Wolverhampton form to Chelmsford? and his breeding suggests that could be a problem as he's by Kalachi. And Kalachi has only got a 5% strike rate at Chelmsford, 5 wins from 78 runners. So at a likely short price, I'm going to oppose Kalachmi on breeding grounds and side instead with number 6, Leith Bridge, trained by Mark Usher. This one is yet to win a race, but has only had the 5 runs, and I think you can forgive his handicap debut at Southall last time when a respectable 6th at 14-1. As again, his breeding suggests Fibersand wouldn't have been the ideal surface. He's by Avonbridge, who has a 10% strike rate at Southall, but on the Polytrack at Chelmsford, a 21% record. So I'm expecting improvement for the switch to this venue. He's also in cheek pieces for the first time, which could eke out some improvements, and he's drawn in stall 3. And even in small fields at Chelmsford recently, we found that the inside route is the place to be, and you know, hopefully Mitch Godwin will bring him around the inside.
Okay, Leithbridge then getting the vote for Andrew in that 110 for the combination of Mark Usher and Mitch Godwin. We'll move ahead then to their 215. This is another handicap here over 5 furlongs this time. A class 4 event with 7 runners down to go to post. And one or two of these bringing decent form into the race.
That's right. And this is on the pace front, this is the sort of polar opposite to the race we just discussed. Because a lot of these like to make the running. And it's going to be a real burn up, I would imagine. Looking at the likeliest leader, that's probably going to be Cool Silk Boy from stall 2, James Givens. And Gorokai as well, out wide in stall 7, can also make the running. So what I'm looking for in this race is something that's just going to sit behind the pace from a low draw and then sweep round the inside. I guess Al Shaki has possibilities from stall 1. But the trouble is with this one, since his course win, he's had 2 runs and he's finished last of 5 and last of 4. So there's a question mark over his current well-being. Modest, stall 7, Michael Bell earned a good speed figure when scoring at Southall last time, but again, like Kalachmi earlier on, is another Kalachi offspring, and haven't got the best of strike rates here, just 5%. So I'm going to go with recent course and distance winner Darkside Princess from stall 4. This one absolutely hosed up over course and distance on handicap debut on the 6th of January, when ridden by Sylvester D'Souza, wore first time cheek pieces that day and came home almost 4 lengths clear of Crystallite. Now, you know, she's gone up £10 for that, which is you know, fair enough given the superiority of her win. But Owen Walsh takes off £3, so she's effectively £7 higher. And given the manner of that last time out victory, I think she can follow up despite the weight rise.
Okay, Andrew's thoughts then on the 215 at Chelmsford. We'll move ahead then to Leopardstown for the next 2 races on this podcast. We start with the 230. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and a furlong. We've got 15 runners here to sort out. What do you make of this bunch?
Very tricky. Very tricky race indeed. So the one I sort of decided to go with in the end was a horse called Just Get Cracking, number 9. Only a 6-year-old, yet to win away from Tremor, but did earn a good speed figure when 5th over 2 miles 5 furlongs here last time, only weakening in the closing stages and going down by about 8 lengths into 5th of the 12 runners. The drop to 2 miles 1 furlong will suit, and so as a 6-year-old could have more improvement to come.
Okay.
Also worth mentioning, 40-foot Tom, who was 3rd in a similar course and distance contest last time out, and should go well from the front.
Andrew's thoughts then on the 230 at Leopardstown. We'll move on to their feature race of the day then, the 305. This is the Irish Champion Hurdle, a grade 1 over 2 miles. We've got 5 runners declared for this one. Early prices with us here at William Hill. C4 Heen is the 4-11 market leader. 130 about Nichols Canyon. Arctic Fire is 6-1. It's 100-1 about Plinth. And King of the Picts is the outside of the party at 200-1. The betting would suggest, Andrew, that you can throw out anything not trained by William Mullins here, and there'll be an argument to say chuck Arctic Fire out as well. This does look like it's set for another battle between the front 2 and the betting.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a fan of Arctic Fire, but not for this race. I think you can forgive his last time out defeat when he was over 3 miles for the first time. Can't believe he went off as short as 5-4 that day, given
just
the stamina.
Bizarre, that. Just yeah. looked very... Not that any of us would want to second-guess William Mullins, but it just looks an odd move for me.
That's right. And I mean, he was second in this race last year behind stablemate Hurricane Fly. And he was second in the Champion Hurdle to Forheen last year. I think that's the position he'll fill in this year's champion hurdle. I really do think he'll be, you know, ridden patiently out the back, let the others take on Forheen. You know, he'll see them off, and Arctic Fire will swoop through and get second. So that would be my early forecast prediction for the champion hurdle at Cheltenham. But back to today's race. So Arctic Fire is now 0 from 4 at Leopardstown, and I think he's booked for third place. And it looks like a straight battle between Forheen and Nichols Canyon.
And of course, Nichols Canyon beat Forheen in the Morgiana. Are we expecting to see that again?
Yeah, I was so disappointed with that because I tipped Forheen for the champion hurdle and just said, you know, this is the Frankel of the jumps world. You know, enjoy this horse. He can go through his career unbeaten. Mm. And when he got turned over at odds of 1-6 and that Punchestown race in mid-November, really disappointed. But, you know, they reckon Ruby got the tactics wrong. You know, he's bounced back to win since at Kempton in the Christmas hurdle, thrashing the new one. And you should be a bit more aware of not giving Nichols Canyon too much rope this time.
Yeah, absolutely. But would you have this discrepancy in the prices? Should Nichols Canyon be as big as 130?
Yeah, difficult. Again, you're trying to second-guess Willie Mullins, aren't you? You're trying to second-guess the tactics. And perhaps not if you just go back to that Punchestown run in November. And or was it just, you know, a case of Forheen should have won, but perhaps he wasn't fully wound up for his reappearance. Perhaps Ruby was a bit overconfident, and things will be different on Sunday.
So you're sticking with Forheen then to land the Irish champion?
Yes. I mean, Nichols Canyon is a fantastic horse, isn't he? I mean, he's completed the course 8 times over hurdle. He's won 7 of them. And the only defeat was in the Neptune last year when, surprisingly, he was ridden patiently and took a keen hold in midfield. And since that run, they've not made that mistake again. They've sent him on in his races. So, it's a case of, I imagine, you know, Nichols Canyon is going to lead and Ruby's going to sit close behind him. So, I would expect Forheen to come through and pick him up after the last.
Okay, that's the Irish Champion Hurdle. Then just remind us, please, one more time, Andrew, your 4 selections for the action on Sunday.
Okay, we kick off in the 1:10 at Chelmsford with Leith Bridge. Then we have the... Is it the 2:15 at Chelmsford with Darkside Princess? And then the tricky handicap chase, the 2:30 at Leopardstown, Just Get Cracking with a saver on 40-foot Tom. And finally, Forheen to get the better of Nichols Canyon in the big race.
There we are then. Thoughts of Andrew Mount ahead of the action on Sunday. Remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. with Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimrott in the studio. We've got Chelmsford, their flat meeting on the all-weather, and also that good day of action over at Leopardstown as well. Plenty to get stuck into on Sunday. Make sure you join us for all of that. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Andrew. Best of luck with Red the Civiller today and best of luck with the action tomorrow.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.